painting lies. The spokesman said the U.S. and its allies are trying everything to deprive Iran of peaceful nuclear energy. Mehman Paras added that the U.S. government is also trying to divert the attention of the American people from its internal economic and political crises. Referring to the Western powers' attempts to create Iranophobia, Mehman Paras described the move as a pretext to justify the presence of their occupying troops in the Middle East region. Meanwhile, a Saudi official has unveiled the sheikdom's acrimony and envious stance against the Islamic Republic's scientific progress. The Saudi foreign minister told the newspaper that China fully knows what it should do in an effort to halt Iran's nuclear program. Saud al-Faisal said China is perfectly aware of the scope of its obligations. He added that Riyadh supports the 5+1 group's work in a way that would serve, that would make the region free of nuclear weapons. But apparently, the prince has forgotten it is Israel which has a stockpile of nuclear weapons, not Iran. The U.S. has been seeking Saudi help to pressure Iran to the benefit of Israel. Israel is an age-old enemy of the Arabs, Palestinians, and Muslims. China depends on both Saudi Arabia and Iran for a large part of its oil imports. According to the Washington Post, Saud al-Faisal made a quiet trip to Beijing about a couple of weeks ago to discuss raising the pressure on Iran. Now, some dubious reports say relations between Israel and the U.S. have hit a 35-year low. The Israeli ambassador to Washington is among those making such claims. In 1975, U.S. called for a partial Israeli withdrawal from Egypt's Sinai Peninsula, which ignited a major crisis between Tel Aviv and Washington. The latest diplomatic upheaval started when Israel announced construction of 1,600 new housing units in East Al-Quds for Jewish settlers. The U.S. authorities, including Vice President Joe Biden, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, have described as insulting and destructive both the new settlement construction order and the timing of the announcement. Iran's defense minister has rebuffed a claim by his U.S. counterpart that Tehran poses a threat to the region by developing its defensive missile capabilities. Brigadier General Ahmad Vahidi says Washington is trying to divide the nations of the Persian Gulf region. Vahidi believes the U.S. campaign is aimed to spread Iranophobia in the region. Referring to Iran's peaceful ties with all regional countries, Vahidi says Tehran only seeks to contribute to peace and security in the region. U.S. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates recently toured the region, trying to convince leaders that Iran is a threat to the security of its Arab neighbors. The Afghan people protested on Monday against the killing of civilians by the U.S.-led forces. The protesters took to the streets in the eastern province of Kunar to condemn the recent killing of 10 Afghan civilians by American troops. On Monday, three more civilians were killed and three others wounded by a landmine in Ghazi province. Afghanistan has been the target of attacks both by militants and by foreign military since the 2001 U.S.-led invasion. Large number of civilians have lost their lives across the country. Afghan President Hamid Karzai and tribal elders have repeatedly criticized the foreign troops for killing and injuring civilians. Vote counting continues in Iraq a week after the nationwide parliamentary elections that was expected to end years of conflict following the 2003 U.S.-led invasion of the country. Early results released by Iraq's election committee show the coalition of Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki ahead of other groups. The results from 14 of 18 provinces show that al-Maliki's state of law bloc is ahead in six provinces, including Baghdad and Basra. The early results represent only around 2 million votes. Things may look different once the results are finalized.
حاليا تم فرز ما More than 30,000 votes have been counted up until this moment. Work is going on steadily, and we will finish all the work before the end of the week. And then we will send as one package to the national office to be added to the votes of March 7th elections.
We hope to complete 90% of the work today. Every package we finish, we paste its results on the outer wall of the center to enable representatives of the political parties and the organizations of civil societies, in addition to election monitors, to have a look. We do our work in the daylight and under the surveillance of local monitors and representatives of political blocs.
Meanwhile, as violence has subsided and washed out in Iraq, the people are looking to their wounded and disabled. Thousands of civilians were injured during the U.S.-led invasion and occupation of the country. Many lost limbs to mortar bombs and have been left in dire need of rehabilitation. Staff and materials are in short supply in Iraq, but there is plenty of hope.
I was playing football before the explosion had taken place. I was a footballer, and now I cannot run, so I have become a goalkeeper. I was also a swimmer. Now I cannot go to swimming pool because it is so far.
Most of the time we have shortage of the resin system materials and components due to, for example, the sanctions, sometimes the shipment and, you know, paperwork, things, these things, so, delay the arrival of the materials to our workshop. That's why we use the polypropylene system.
And here's our World in Brief section.
Exiled Hamas political head Khalid Mash'al slammed the reopening of an old synagogue in the holy city of Al-Quds, calling it a prelude to the destruction of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Iran's police have dismantled 76 drug gangs and arrested 2,700 drug traffickers and dealers in northern province of Semnan during the current Iranian year that will end in less than a week. Forensic scientists could soon use hand germs to help identify criminals and victims. To get to that conclusion, researchers swap individual keys on three personal computer keyboards, extracted bacterial DNA from the swabs, and compared the results with bacteria on the fingertips of the keyboard's users. Afghan President Hamid Karzai has ordered extra forces to secure the strategic southern city of Kandahar after coordinated terror attacks a few days ago killed 35 people. Deputy head of Iran's Red Crescent Society has welcomed Iran's membership in an international aid committee set up to help people in Afghanistan, the Gaza Strip, and Iraq. Abdul Rauf Adib reported that the committee is a subsidiary of the Organization of the Islamic Conference, otherwise called OIC. Foreign tourists have enthusiastically traveled to Iran during the current Iranian year, which is to end in a few days. A particular interest to foreign tourists are Iran's much-valued Persian handicrafts. And finally, Iran's Agricultural Jihad Ministry and Japan's International Cooperation Agency have signed an agreement to implement two new projects in Iran. The two countries are to cooperate in rural development, forest and pastures management.
The Iranian oil minister says the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, should not raise its output since there is still no sign of increase in world demand. Masoud Mirkazemi believes OPEC should maintain its current production levels since there is still abundance of oil supplies around the world. OPEC has left its quota unchanged since December 2008, when it agreed to cut 4.2 million barrels per day. OPEC expects appetite for crude oil to remain weak throughout the first half of 2010. OPEC is scheduled to meet on Wednesday in Vienna. Analysts expect the producers to keep official quota at 24.84 million barrels a day. And now, exit polls show President Sarkozy's party losing to socialists in round one of France's regional elections.
France's opposition Socialist Party has dealt a blow to President Nicolas Sarkozy's UMP party in the first round of the country's regional elections. Exit polls show the Socialists winning up to 30% of Sunday's vote, with the UMP party and its allies coming in with as little as 26.5%. The head of the Socialist Party, Martine Aubry, says the outcome sends a clear message.
By this vote, the French people have sent a clear and strong message of refusal to a France that is divided, anguished and weakened, and they have expressed their desire for a France that is stronger and more just.
But Sarkozy and his supporters are playing down the importance of the vote, saying it will have no impact on his reform drive.
I think that this was a regional election. The vote was on regional issues, not on national ones.
The abstention rate was put at 53%, a record for a regional election. Pollsters say the low turnout was likely to cost Sarkozy's allies. A second round ballot will be held on March 21st, with leading parties going forward to a conclusive vote to decide who will run France's 26 regions.
Weaker yen ahead of a Bank of Japan meeting this week left Japanese exporters like the camera maker Canon, while eyes are on Chinese policy. The next piece sheds more light on that complicated topic.
A weaker yen ahead of a Bank of Japan meeting this week lifted exporters like camera maker Canon on Monday, while most Asian markets saw profit-taking. The Nikkei was flat to lower overall after gaining nearly 4% last week. The Japanese currency was lower on ideas that the central bank may ease policy to try to address falling prices. Toyota was supported by the Japanese currency's lower tone against the dollar, despite news a U.S. prosecutor filed the first consumer protection lawsuit against the world number one over its safety issues. Other Asian share markets edged back from near seven-week highs. In Hong Kong, China's Shenhua Energy dipped after the world's most valuable coal producer warned that government policies could raise its costs.
Well, time is up, and that's a wrap for this edition of the iRyan and English News. Goodbye.